Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin 3 lines from the top of Daf Mem Dalid, at the beginning of the Gemara after having learned the Mishnah during our previous shiur. The Mishnah featured halachas that are relevant to 1-day-old children, female and male. The Mishnah's first halacha was a tinoikes bas yoim echad, a 1-day-old little girl, metama benida. She is subject to the nida tuma if she has a blood discharge. So the Gemara here asks, Minohani Mili, from where do we know this point? The Tanur Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, Isha. The Pasuk appears in the Torah describing a Nida flow, and it says Isha, an Isha is an adult, Ein Li Elo Isha. So I would know from this only an adult woman, namely above 12 years old. Bas yoim echod lenida minayin, from where do I know a 1-day-old child? Tamad loimar ve'isha. The pasuk has a vav in it, so it adds a girl even at 1 day old. Bas asora yomim leziva, as we learned in the Mishnah, the zava is a situation that arises only after a girl experienced nida. So if she experienced nida at 1 day, and that's a 7-day period of tuma, and in order to become a zava gedola, you need 3 days of blood flow during the ziva days, namely after day 7. So at day 10 days old, she could potentially become, could have become a zava. Minohani mili the tonu rabbanon. What is the mocker for that? So the source says isha. Once again, you see in the pasuk the word isha that is referring to an adult, Ein li ela isha. That would tell me only an adult. Bas asora yomim lezivo minayin. How about a 10-day-old child? Talmud lomar ve'isha. Once again, you have a drosha focusing on the vav. Tinok ben yom echad. So our Mishnah taught us that a 1-day-old child could become a zav. That's a male-type discharge, which is a different discharge than semen, but nevertheless a discharge that creates tumah. So the source says, from where do, in answering the question of how do I know a 1-day-old child is subject to that? So the pasuk says ish ish. That's a quote from the pasuk. Ma tamu lomar ish ish. What's the need of the double expression? Answer: L'rabois ben yoim echod shemetame beziva. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The double expression includes even a 1-day-old son, child. Rabbi Shmuel beno Shur Yochanan Broko Imer. He has a different approach to the same question and says, Eino tzorech. You don't need the double expression. Harehu Omer. You have a pasuk that says, V'hazov es zoivoi lazochor v'lanekeva. And in that pasuk, the word lazochor means kol shehu, whatever kind of male. Bein godol, bein katan. The word lazochor is a male, and it's unqualified, so therefore it includes even a young one. Lanekeva, likewise, the word lanekeva meaning a female, kol shehi. Whatever age, bein gedola, whether she's older, bein ktana, or very young. Im kain, if the words lazochor v'lanakeva cover the, particularly here the word lazochor covers a 1-day-old boy for zav, so ma talmud lomar ishish, what does he do with the double expression? Namely, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with the moker that Rabbi Yehuda cited? He answers, Dibra Torah Koloshan B'nei Adam. The Torah speaks in the fashion that people speak, so that you'll have double expressions, as people sometimes for emphasis purposes will double a comment, double a word. So too the Torah does that at times, and there's nothing special that one darshans from that double expression. Umetame b'negoyim. We mentioned that a one-day-old child is susceptible to negoyim. Dechtiv adam kiye b'or b'soro. That is the posuk by negoyim, tzora'as. And in the posuk you see the word adam, and that is kol shehu, any person. Person meaning any age. Umetame b'tomei meis. A one-day-old child is subject to becoming tomei as a result of tumas meis, exposure or contact to a corpse. Dechtiv, the posuk in Bamidbar, Perek Yutes, posuk Yudches, in describing how to metaher, how to purify people who are tomei meis, it says v'al hanefoshos asher hoyu sham. The nefoshos means the spirits or the souls of people that are there, meaning nefesh koldu, any person. Vezokek ligibum, a one-day-old child whose brother died, let's say, after he was born. In other words, the same day that someone was born, his brother died, leaving a widow. So that widow is now bound to the yibum situation and cannot marry just anybody. Dechtiv, the pasuk says, ki yeshvu achim yachdov, when brothers dwell together. Achim shehoyo lohem yeshiva achas ba'olam, brothers that dwelled together at the same time in the world. And in this case, married brother died on the day his younger brother was born, but first the birth took place, so that they were together in this world. And as a result of that, so the widow is included in this pasuk that speaks about the achim being yachdov, so she is restricted. Upoter min hayibum, this is a situation where a man died, but just a moment before his death, a little boy was born, so that he died, leaving in the world a child. And even though that child died later that day, nevertheless, the widow is not bound to yibum, because as the Mishnah says, a one-day-old child can free a woman from shackles or the binding of the yibum. And how do we know this? Pasuk says, "Uben ein lo omar rachmona." The Torah says, "When is there yibum? When a man dies, leaving no children." V'hal isle, but in this case, he did leave a child, even though it was a one-day-old child that he left. Nevertheless, the pasuk indicates that she is exempt from the yibum situation. Umachil betruma. This was a case of a Bas Yisrael who was married to a Kohen, and the Bas Yisrael, if she has no children from the Kohen, so she is no longer able to continue eating truma when her husband dies. The rights that the Bas Yisrael has to eating truma is because she's married to a Kohen. However, if she leaves, if the Kohen died, but she has a child from that Kohen, even if the child is one day old, she is entitled to eat truma. Dechtiv, the pasuk says, V'yilid beiso heim yochlu b'lachmo. That is the pasuk, and we read it, Kri bei ya'achilu b'lachmo, that yilid beiso, people who are born from a Kohen, are able to cause, ya'achilu is a causative verb, cause her to eat from the truma. Uposel min hatruma. This is a case where a Bas Yisrael had a Bas Kohen had been married to a Yisrael. If the husband dies, she as a Bas Kohen would go back to eating truma. However, if her Yisrael husband died, but she has a child from him, so she is not able to go back to her father's house, so to speak, for the continued eating of truma. And we're saying here, the Mishnah says, even if it's a one-day-old child from the Yisrael. The Pasuk says, V'zera ein lo. When does the Bas Kohen go back to eating the truma? She has no children from the Yisrael. That's V'zera ein lo, Omar Rachmona. That's when she goes back, V'ha Isla. But here she has a child, even if it's a one-day-old child from the Yisrael. She can no longer, she cannot go back to her father's house as a Bas Kohen to eat truma. The Gemara asks, "My Iria Zera, why does the Mishnah speak about the Yisrael leaving a born child, a full-fledged child? Afilu ubar nami dichtiv, even in a case where the Yisrael died, leaving the Bas Kohen pregnant. Ubar is an unborn child; she's pregnant. That will passel the Bas Kohen from going back to her father's house, because the pasuk says kinureha. Kinure means as she was when she was young, namely, when, under what circumstances does she go back to eating the truma? When she's kinureha, prat limuberes. This word comes to exclude a pregnant woman. In other words, a bas Yisrael that's pregnant with the child of a Yisrael, that too would prevent her from eating truma. So at this point, we have a reference to Zera, a child, and we have reference to an Ubar. Both of them preventing the Bas Kohen from resuming the Truma that she used to be entitled to as a daughter of a Kohen. So the Gemara points out now, we call this an answer because our question was, can we not learn this din of her, of the psul bas kohen, from eating truma from the kinurel? What do I need to have zera ein lo? So the Gemara answers, tzrichi, I need both sources. The ikos of rachmona v'zera ein lo, had we had just that pasuk, mishum de meikora chad gufa, originally she was one person, v'hashto tre gufi, now there are two. And so that is a very significant change, if you will, and that's why she cannot go back to eating truma. Avol hocha, in the case of Meuberes, had I not had the Kinurel Pasuk, Avol hocha, the Meikora Chad Gufa, originally she was one person, she was a Bas Kohen, a singular Bas Kohen, V'hashto chad gufa. Now, she's also just one person. True, she's pregnant, but she's one person. So, emol techu. Maybe that's not a drastic change from her original status, and she should be able to eat truma. Therefore, kasav rachmono kinu reho. Therefore, the pasuk writes that even though she's like she was originally, a single person, nevertheless, she cannot eat the truma because she's pregnant from a Yisrael. The ikos of Rachmona Kinurel, had we had that pasuk, that's what restricts her, then we will tell you, Mishum de Meikora Gufa Srika, Vahashto Gufa Malya. The Kinurel would have excluded a case of the pregnant woman only. Why? Originally, she was eating truma as a woman with literally an empty body, meaning without a pregnancy. Now she is pregnant. That's considered a significant change, we'll say, from her original situation where she was eating truma. Aval hocha, but in the case of where she gave birth, demeikora gufa srika, originally she was eating truma as an unpregnant woman, as a daughter of her father, the Kohen. V'hashto gufo srika. Now that she's given birth, her body is also srika's empty. Emo techol. So maybe she should be allowed to eat. Therefore, srika, I need the posuk of zera einla to tell me that she cannot eat because she has zera. She has a child from the Yisrael. Kroy Atrutz. At this point, we can say that we've explained the reason for having the two psukim. Elo Masnisen. But as far as the Mishnah is concerned, my Iryo ben Yom Echad. Why does the Mishnah place emphasis on a one-day-old child preventing her from eating truma, afilu ubor nami, even if she were merely pregnant? So couldn't the Mishnah have taught that case? Omar Rav Sheshes. Now we have a long answer marking. You can see to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara the tuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. Rav Sheshes answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon b'koyen shiyesh lo shtei noshim. The Mishnah that speaks about a one-day-old child as preventing from the eating of the truma is a case where a kohen has two wives, achas grusha v'achas she'ena grusha. One is a grusha, is a divorcee, and now a kohen is forbidden to marry a divorcee, but he did. He violated the Torah law and married her, and he has a second wife that's acceptable, an ena grusha. V'yeshlo bonim misha'ena grusha, and he has sons from the ena grusha, kosher kohanim sons. V'yeshlo ben yom echad min hagrusha, and he has a one-day-old son, you know, from the grusha. That son is called a cholol, which is a the son of a kohen's forbidden marriage, and as a result, He doesn't have kohen status. He's called a cholol. So, now the day that cholol son was born, the kohen died, leaving two sets of children, namely one set of kosher kohanim sons and the singular son from the grusha. De posel b'avdei oviv milechol betruma. At this point, you have a household, these children whose father just died, they inherited their father's slaves. Slaves of a kohen, in principle, are entitled to eat truma. It's called kinyan kaspoi. However, in this case, the sons inherited the slaves, and we don't know at this point which slave is connected with which son. They haven't divided the estate, so that the cholol son has a percentage holding in each one of the slaves that are there. Now, since he is the owner, a partial owner of the slaves, of each one of the slaves, the cholol son is someone who cannot eat truma, has no rights to truma, hence his slaves, or partial ownership of the slaves, prevents them from eating truma. So that the fact that you have a ben yom echad who is not allowed to eat truma, that will prevent all the slaves from eating truma. And that's what the Gemara means. The poisel the avdei aviv milechol betruma. He prevents all of the slaves from eating truma, even though his percentage in each slave might be small. Nevertheless, it's considered partial ownership of someone who is not entitled to eat truma. Hence, his slaves cannot eat truma. The Mishnah teaches us that because he was born, that prevents the slaves from eating. Ulafuke Rabbi Yosi. This position of the Mishnah is at odds with Shitas Rabbi Yosi, the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, who is also a Tana, but he disagrees, who holds the Yomer Ubor Nami Posel. Rabbi Yosi is of the opinion that a fetus also is, we'll say, said to inherit, that there's a concept of inheritance that's relevant to a fetus. And which, as Rashi calls or cites the Gemara that says Yeshlo Zechiyah, he has a zchus, he has rights to the fetus, has rights to the slaves, and as a result of that, you have, according to Rabbi Yossi, even if the child was not born, the other sons that are born, their slaves would not be allowed to eat truma. Chomashmalon, our Mishnah comes to tell us ben yom echad in, only if he's born, ubar lo, but if he's as yet unborn, so the slaves of this kohen that were inherited by his kosher sons would be entitled to eat truma, because there's no competing force of a of a born, as yet born child from the unkosher marriage. Nochel umanchil. Our Mishnah taught that a one-day-old child inherits and manchil bequeaths. The what we will see in this Gemara, so we'll have to point out there's a structural note, and we have Roman numerals that need explanation. You can see we have a Roman numeral number 1 here, and when we get to Omid Beis, there is a Roman numeral number 2. And what we'll be looking into is, what does the Mishnah teach us when it speaks about the one-day-old child inheriting and bequeathing? So we have a note on the side of our Gemara which indicates that the Mishnah teaches us halachas of inheritance that are shayach, that are relevant to a one-day-old child, to the exclusion of an ubar, to the exclusion of an unborn as a child. So approach number 1 speaks about nochel umanchil, and approach number 2 speaks about his being memait chelek b'chora. We will be able to appreciate these with examples as we go on in the Gemara. So at this point the Gemara asks, nochel miman, we speak about a one-day-old child, he is inheriting from whom? So the Gemara answers, me'oviv, he inherits from his father. In other words, a man on the day that he died, he had a one-day-old child. So the one-day-old child inherits from his father. Umanchil leman, he bequeaths unto whom? That would mean that you have a one-day-old child who, upon his death on that day, he bequeaths unto others. Well, to whom? Who is he manchil? Unto whom is he manchil, bequeathing? Answer, li'ochiv me'oviv, to his paternal brothers. The Gemara asks, if that's the case, iboi me'avua lirsi, iboi minei lirsi. As far as those brothers are concerned, we should point out just before we go any further that the laws of Torah inheritance are shayach to what's called krove ho'av. Brothers, paternal brothers, can inherit one from the other. So, in this particular case, of what significance is the fact that the child was born and lived one day in order to activate the transfer of property from their father to themselves, the surviving brothers? Even without him in the picture, the surviving brothers would have inherited their father's estate. So Omar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is a second stage in explaining the Mishnah. So he explains as follows: Nochel b'nichse ho'em. Instead of saying, like number 1 said, that he's nochel me'oviv, Rav Sheshes explains, nochel, this child, this one-day-old child, inherits his mother. And once he inherits his mother, when he dies, lahanchil le'echov min ho'av. Let's read that phrase again. A one-day-old child, let us say, give a practical case, a woman who has a father and she has her own family. She happens to be married to a person, and the day that she delivers this child, this woman dies. Let us assume right now that there is her husband is not in the picture, just to make our case, our example, easier to follow. So a woman who is pregnant delivers a child. The child is delivered, and after the child is delivered, the mother dies. So the Mishnah tells us that this one-day-old child, he in effect inherits his mother that just died after his birth. And then that child dies the same day. after his mother died. What happens to the property he inherited from his mother? So the Gemara tells us, L'hanchil le'echov min ho'av. He will thereby bequeath, or the properties that he inherited will be bequeathed unto his paternal brothers. These are brothers that his father produced with another woman. V'dafko ben yom echad. The situation we just described of the one-day-old child inheriting from his mother, and upon his death, the properties that were once connected to the mother are now transferred to his paternal brother. That's only if he's one day old. Namely, he is actually born. Aval ubar loy. However, if, let us say, a woman was pregnant and she didn't deliver the child, but rather she died. That, and she died pregnant. The ubar would not be a vehicle, let us say, for inheritance from the mother to transfer to the paternal brothers, but rather, in that case, the woman's father or brothers would inherit her properties. My taima, why is that? Why is it that if she died pregnant, the properties are not inherited by the ubar? Answer, to who? My aspiration, because the ubar dies first. He died before his mother. The ein haben yoresh es imo bakever, and a dead child does not inherit its mother. So that if a child dies before its mother, that child cannot inherit from her. Let's read that line again. The ein haben yoresh es imo. We continue at the top of mem dalet omid beis. We say that a ben is not yoresh es imo, but kever lahanchil le'echov min ho'av, to thereby transfer his mother's property to his paternal brothers. The Gemara, and why is that? Because of what the Gemara mentions here, dehu mayis beresha. We say that the child dies first, and a dead child cannot inherit from its mother. The Gemara asks, Aini, is that so? Namely, this point of the child dying, the unborn child, the ubar, dies first. V'ho have uvda, there was an incident, upirches ad plas pirchusi, a case where a pregnant woman died, and we saw her belly three movements, indicating that even though the mother died, the child, the ubar, continued to live. So why do you say, as we did at the bottom of Omer Aleph, that the mother dies first? Omar Moar Breder of Ashi, Midi Dahabe Azno Azonov Halito'o de Mefarcheses. The movement of that child is similar to the zon of the tail of a lito, of a lizard, that, as many of you may know, if you detach the tail of a lizard, the detached portion will continue to flutter even though it's been removed from the body of the lizard. This is a type of nervous reaction that continues after it's been disconnected. Same thing with regard to the unborn in a woman who died, a pregnant woman that died. The fluttering action that you see in her belly movement is only a type of nervous reaction and not a sign of life. So up till now, when our Mishnah had mentioned that a ben yom echad is noichel umanchil, that means he is noichel, he inherits from his mother, and upon its death, that child, on its first day of life, it then dies. It transfers what it inherited from its mother to his paternal brothers. And the point is, only if he's one day old, as opposed to a case of a woman who's pregnant, dies in her state of pregnancy, that ubar does not affect the transfer of his mother's property to the paternal brothers. Here we have a second approach to explaining the significance of a one-day-old child in terms of inheritance. And we also have a double underline that's used over here, because we will have a second version, we'll call it the Pumbedisa version, that appears later. So that will be featured. You'll notice the squiggle underline, but Pumbedisa Masnahachi, the squiggle underline we often use when it comes to a second version of whatever is being taught. And the double underline highlights Mar Brei de Rav Yosef quoting Rava. So we turn to the Gemara. The Mishnah that mentions that a one-day-old child is nochel umanchil basically tells us, let's see this in the Gemara, Mar Brei de Rav Yosef Nishmei de Rav Omar, Loimar, the teaching of nochel umanchil means shememayit b'chelek b'chora. We will explain this momentarily by learning the Rashi, who gives us a concrete example of what that means. But just technically, the one-day-old child is capable of reducing the portion that would have been received by a firstborn. The Omar Mor Brei Durav Yosef Mishmei Durav Ben Shenolad Achar Misa Soav. A son that is born after his father died, in other words, a man died leaving his wife in a state of pregnancy, eino mimayit b'chelek b'chora. He will not reduce the portion of the firstborn, the firstborn's double portion. And that will be backed up by a pasuk that the Gemara will give. We read the Gemara just to give a sense of contrast that if he's born, so he's memayit b'chelek b'chora. If he's not born, so he won't be memayit b'chelek b'chora. Let's go over this by learning the Rashi, who gives a concrete example to explain this. So we pick up the Rashi, second line from the top, lomar shememayit b'chulei. Masnisen dekotani noichil amanchil, the Mishnah, which mentioned that a one-day-old child inherits and bequeaths, Lomar, it tells us Shememayit Bechelik Bechora. Kagon. What is an example of Memayit Bechelik Bechora? Example, Imhoya Ben Yom Echad Kishemes Aviv. A man died leaving a 1 day old son. Vehoya Lo Ach Bechor, Veach Poshut. And there were two brothers, two older brothers, one a firstborn. Firstborns are entitled to a double portion. And in addition to the firstborn, there was another regular son. Umeis hu achar oviv. And this one-day-old child, the man's third son, he died after his father. So we say, nochel hu me oviv, es chelek revi'i sheben chosav. When you have three sons, and you have to establish how much a firstborn gets. So you take whatever number of sons there are and add one. So if there are three sons, we say that the father's estate is divided into four portions, four sections. The firstborn gets what we call a double portion, meaning one more portion than any one other brother. So that if there are three sons, the estate is divided into four parts. The firstborn would get two parts, and the other two brothers gets one part each. So here we're describing a man dying, leaving three sons. The third son happens to be 1 day old, and that child will die on that day in our example. So we say that the one-day-old son inherits that, what's called that chelik revi'i, that fourth portion, which is we call this chelik poshut, u'manchilo l'shnei echov. That portion that the one-day-old son, inherited will then be divided amongst his two surviving brothers, the firstborn and the second son. V'cholkin ha'b'chor v'poshut es chelko shel zeh b'shoveh. the firstborn and his second brother will divide the dead one day old brother equally. The concept of double portion applies only with regard to a firstborn inheriting his father. In this case, the portion of the one day old son that dies is an inheritance of a brother's portion. V'nimtza mimayit b'chelek habachor. As a result of what we just described, the Bechor is actually going to be getting less than he would have received had this third brother not been born at all. D'i lav ihu, if not for the one-day-old brother who was born, inherited their father, and died that same day, if not for him, havishokil Bechor trei tilsi, he would have had received two-thirds of his father's estate. In other words, in such an example, had this child not been born, so there would have only been the firstborn and one brother. Two brothers, what do? We divide the father's estate into three parts, and the son, the firstborn, gets two of the three parts. And hence, he would have received two-thirds of the father's estate. As opposed to our case, where the Bechor was one of three brothers, the third brother being one day old, but we said at that point you would divide the estate into four parts, where the Bechor at the outset got two of the four parts as opposed to two of three parts. So he's getting less initially, and then when the third son dies, so that portion is divided equally between himself and the second brother. And now Rashi gives an actual example. Kigon Mishisho Zehuvim, if the father had six gold pieces and there was no third brother, so he, the Bechor, would have had Arba, he would have taken four of the six pieces, Upasha Notel Shnei Zehuvim, and the other brother would have had two gold pieces. The Achshav, but now Notel Habachor Gimel Zehuvim Keneged Shnei Achin. You have to take six, and being that there are three sons in our case, you're taking six and dividing it by four parts. That's one and a half pieces of gold. The firstborn would get three. That's two times one and a half, two of the four portions. That's keneged shnei achim, u mechelko shelzeh, being that each of the other brothers got one and a half pieces of gold, that the one-day-old son having inherited one and a half pieces, when he dies, that portion is divided into two parts. And that's what Rashi describes here. Umei chelko shelzeh gimel rivei zahuv. Three quarters. Three quarters is a half of one and a half. So the firstborn then would have his original, in the three brother case, he would have his original three pieces. And now he would get three quarters of the deceased one day old brother's portion. So you'd have three and three quarters. How much would the Bechor have received had there been only two brothers altogether? Not three and three quarters. He would have received four, because we divided six into three parts, two pieces in each part. The firstborn, had there only been two brothers, would have had two-thirds of that. That's four pieces. In this scenario, where there was a one-day-old brother, the Bechor ends up with three and three-quarters. Nimtso biad Bechor dalezuvim chosu revia. He has four minus a quarter, meaning three and three-quarters. Ubiad poshut shnei zehuvim urevia. And in the case of the poshut, originally he had, since there were three brothers, he inherited one and a half. One and a half plus now three-quarters, which is ubiat poshet shnei zuvim urevia, which is two and a quarter. That's more than he would have received had there been no third brother. V'davko ben yom echad. Everything we said now about the ability of the one day old to reduce the chelik b'chora is because he was born. Aval ubar eino lemayit. However, if you had a man dying, leaving two sons and a pregnant wife, she's pregnant with an ubar, so then that ubar and would not be memayit, the chelik b'chora. Kidomer lo kamon, as is said later, ben shenolad la'achar misas oviv, eino memayit b'chelik ha'b'chora. The notel ha'b'chor shlish b'chora, so the b'chor in that case would have received, such a case where a man dies leaving a pregnant woman, so the chelik b'chora, which would have been a case where he divided the father's estate into three parts because the woman was as yet did not deliver the child yet, so the estate would be divided into three parts. The b'chor gets 2/3. One of the 2/3 is called his chelek b'chora, so that he gets ubein shloshtan yichalku shnei shlishim. And in that case, when the child is eventually born, the remaining 2/3 are divided amongst the three of them. That's what Rashi says. Ubein shloshtan yichalku shnei shlishim. The 2/3 that remain would be divided amongst the three of them. So in this last case, where the father died, leaving only two children and a pregnant woman, when you make the calculations, you will find that the b'chor will receive 4 of the 6 zehuvim at the end of the day, so to speak. In other words, when the just to run through the calculation, the father dies leaving two sons. At that point, the b'chor would get his chelik b'chora, which is 2 out of the 6. And the when the woman delivers that day, so we would say there's a balance of 4 zehuvim, so that when that ubar is born, the 4 will have to be divided 3 ways. That would be 1 1/3 for each. At that point, the b'chor would then go from 2 plus 1 1/3 is 3 1/3. The poshet and the yom echad child would each get 1 1/3. Now, when that yom echad child dies, on the day that he's born, after inheriting inheriting a portion of the estate, the 1 1/3 will be split 2 ways. When you take 1 1/3, that's really 4/3, so it's 2/3 for each one. So you would take the 2/3 and give that to the b'chor who up till this point had received 3 1/3. 3 1/3 plus 2/3 is 4, and the poshet would have 2. That is the same amount that the b'chor would have received had the yom echad child not been born at all. So this cheshbon that we made of the b'chor having his portion reduced by a yom echad, this is in fact the case. Only if the child was born before the father died. But in the case that the child was born after the father died, so as we just demonstrated, the b'chor will not lose out. We now go back to the Gemara, and we will read again the teaching of Mor Brei Rav Yosef Aleph. So Mor Brei Rav Yosef Mishmei Derava Omar, he explains the Mishnah that says Nochil and Manchil, that a one-day-old child is Nochil and Manchil. Lomar Shememayit Bechelek Bechora. This shows us that since he is actually born before the father died, the b'chor will end up getting a bit less than he would have received had this child not come around at all. The Omar Mor Brei Rav Yosef Mishmei Derava Ben Shenolad Achar Misos Ha'av, the case of a child being born after his father died, where he left a pregnant woman, a pregnant wife, Eino Memayit B'chelek B'chora, then under those circumstances, when eventually that child dies, you will see that the Bechor does not have his portion reduced. My taimo, why is, what's the basis for this? The Yoldu Loi Bo'inon. In order for the child to be factored in such a way that the Bechor would end up losing, it's only if he's born when the father is alive. Besura Masnu Hochi. In Sura, which was a major Torah center in Bavel, they had this version. But Pumbedisa Masnu Hochi. In Pumbedisa, which was another Torah center in Bavel, they have a different version. Omar Mor Breid Rav Yosef Mishmei de Ravo. Bechor Shenolad Liachar Misas Oviv. A firstborn that is born after his father died. And Rashi explains the only way to speak about a firstborn indicates that there's a second born also. How can you have a firstborn and a second born when the firstborn is born after his father dies? So we have to speak about a twin birth, where the mother was pregnant with twins. Or Rashi suggests another situation where there were two wives, and one of the two pregnant women delivers before the other, so that would be considered the Bechor with regard to laws of inheritance. So a Bechor Shenola V'achar Misas Oviv, let's speak about a case of a twin birth. So two children are born, a firstborn and a Poshut, and their birth is after their father died. Eino Notil Pishnayim, the firstborn does not get a double portion. My Taima, what's the basis for that? Yakir Bo'inon Faholeko. The word Yakir is in the context of the double portion of a Bechor. Yakir literally means he shall recognize. But in the case that the father died before the children were born, so the father never was Makir. He never recognized the child. V'hilchasa k'chol hani lishni demor brei d'Rav Yosef mishmei d'Rava. And the Gemara rules in accordance with all of these teachings that we heard in the name of Mor brei d'Rav Yosef, quoting Rava. V'ha'orgo chayov, one who kills a one-day-old child is guilty of a capital offense. D'chtiv v'ish ki yake kol nefesh. The pasuk that deals with murder mentions a man that kills any nefesh, mikomakom, whatever its age, even one day old. This is as opposed to, we'll say, one who commits an abortion, even though it may be forbidden to commit an abortion. However, the child's not born yet, and therefore it's not considered the same level offense. It's not a capital offense. The Mishnah used an interesting expression. It said, "Varei hu le'avu limo l'chol kroivov kechosan sholem." The one-day-old child is like a full-fledged choson. L'mai hilchasa, regarding what is this expression that he's considered a full-fledged choson, literally a groom. L'mai hilchasa, Omar, in words, regarding what halacha is this phrase relevant? Omar Rav Papa le'inyan avelus. This is with regard to the need to observe the rules of mourning. The Gemara asks, Keman? Well, like whom is this being taught? Delo k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Are you suggesting that it's not like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Let us point out, according to Rashi, that when the Gemara asks here, Keman, the Logam Shimon Liel, Akula Masnisin Koi, this is referring to the entire Mishnah, the Kochoshev Ben Yom Echod Ben Kayoma, our Mishnah that gives credence or significance to a one-day-old child as a Ben Kayoma, as something that is considered fully alive. This idea, or this age, is like whom? Well, so the Gemara says, Keman, the low Reb Shimon Liel. It does not appear to be like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. The Amar Kol Shisho Shloshim Yom Ba'odom Eino Nefel. Ha lo shoha Sofek Havei. Reb Shimon Liel says that any child that does not live 30 days or let's put it this way, in the positive, any child that lasts 30 days is considered eino nefel. He's not considered a nefel. A nefel is a term used most often with a miscarriage, but it would be an indication of something that doesn't have life to it. So a child, in order to establish that it has life to it, would have to survive 30 days. If it doesn't survive 30 days, so ha lo shah sofek havi, it's considered a type of doubt. There's a doubt hovering over this infant whether it's going to live. So at this point, our Mishnah that emphasizes the 1 day old child, is it to be understood as unlike Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? Because Reb Shimon ben Gamliel would seem to say that less than 30 days is not a full-fledged person, it's a suffix, it's a case of a doubt. The Gemara says, you can say that our Mishnah in fact is in accordance with Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. What are we talking about? In our Mishnah, the Kimle Shekolu Lo Chadoshav, we know that the child had experienced a full-term pregnancy. What Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's point affects, where he says if it doesn't last 30 days, it's considered a suffix, that's a case where you don't know that the child experienced a full-term pregnancy. And that being the case, so it may be, in fact, a miscarriage, even though it's actually born, but if it didn't have a full-term pregnancy, so it doesn't have, it's not said to have full life to it. However, if you know that the child experienced a full-term pregnancy, then even Reb Shimon will concede that it's a full-fledged child and has full status even at 1 day of age. The Mishnah. Bas shaloshonim v'yom echad miskadeshes b'biyah. A 3-year-old and 3 years and 1 day old girl is able to be married through intimacy. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Kiddushin there are 3 ways to acquire into a binding relationship of marriage. And one of the 3 ways is bia. However, that is an effective means, and we should say that's in addition to shtar and kesef. Shtar and kesef are something that are effective even at 1 day old. But when you're talking about marriage through an act of intimacy, where a father gives his child, his girl, his daughter, over to a man, she can be acquired through the act of intimacy, provided she's 3 years and a day of age. V'im bo aleha yavam kana, if she's 3 years and a day, and she was she in effect was a widow, and because there were no children. After all, you're talking about a little girl, she didn't have any children. So the surviving brother, if he marries her through the yibum is an act of intimacy that a surviving brother conducts with his brother's widow, so that will be an effective kinyan of yibum. V'chayovin oleo mishum eishes ish. If someone else, other than her husband, has intimacy with this, we'll call this married girl, and she is 3 years and a year, 3 years and a day of age, so the other man, the paramour, will be guilty of having intimacy with Eishes Ish, which is a capital offense. Umetama is boyalo letama mishkav tachton keelyon, and in the event that she is a nida, if a person has relations with her, he will be considered a boel nida. And a boel nida creates tumah whereby the bed that he lies on will have the din of an elyoin shelzav, which means that his bed would metama food and drink as opposed to people, which is also in contrast with her bed. A nida's bed is metama even people and vessels. But all of this, the fact that he gets a boyel nida status is because she is 3 years and a day, and she happens to be a nida. If she were less than that, he would not become tamei to the extent that he'd metame his mishkav, but he would be tamei as a nogea, but not as a boyel nida. nisei, that we should point out that the girl herself can gain nido status even at one day of age, as we've learned in a previous Mishnah. However, the act of bia will not have significance to label him a boyel nida until she is 3 years and a day. Niseis l'kayin toichel betruma. If you're dealing with a girl who's a bas Yisrael and she marries a kohen, so if she enters the nisuin stage of marriage and she is 3 years and a day, that it will entitle her to eat truma. Bo'olel echad min apsulim posla min akahuna. If someone who is not fit to marry her had relations with her, that will render her unfit from the kahuna, and because we're dealing with an act of relations with a girl over 3 years of age. Bo olel echad mikol ha'arayas umos b'torah. If any of the forbidden relatives has relations with her, so mumsin olel, they will be guilty of a capital offense and have to die because of having intimacy with her. The heap tura, she will be exempt. She's a minor. Pochos mikan, less than this, less than 3 years and a day of age, kenoisin etzba ba'ayin. It's like putting one's finger in one's eye. In other words, the Gemara actually will deal with this at greater in greater detail later on, but it's not considered an act of full-fledged intimacy because of her young age. Tanu Rabbanan, bas gimel shanim miskadeshes bebia, divrei Rabbi Meir. The Tanakhama says if she's 3 years old, she can be betrothed through the act of intimacy. V'chachomim omrim bas gimel shanim v'yom echad. The Chachomim say 3 years and a day. My binayu, what's the point of difference between these two opinions? So we have two answers. Number one, Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai, Erev Rosh Hashanah Iko Binayhu. The last day of a given year, which is the Erev, the eve of the first day of the next year, of the fourth year. So Erev Rosh Hashanah will be the point of difference. In other words, let's say a girl who was in the last day of her third year, she hasn't gone into the fourth year by a day. She's in the last day of her third year. According to Rabbi Meir, the bia will be effective, and according to the Rabbanan, the bia will not be effective in marrying her. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Shloshim Yom B'Shana Chashuvim Shana Iko Binayu. The point of difference between these two opinions is the concept of 30 days being considered a year. Now, here there will be a very big difference. According to Rabbi Meir, when 30 days into the third year arrives, that will be considered the third year. That will be considered 3 years of age. In other words, Rabbi Meir puts a premium on a unit of 30 days. According to the Rabbanon, she's not considered 3 years of age until three complete years go by. So there's a very big difference. According to Rabbi Meir, as Rabbi Yochanan understands things, 2 years and a month would be sufficient for her to be mekudeshes through bia. According to the Rabbanon, lefi Rabbi Yochanan, three complete years would be necessary. So you have an 11-month difference between these two opinions. Mesve. We quote a Tanaic source that will present a problem. Bas shalashanim vafilu bas shtei shanim v'yoyim echad miskadeshes bebia, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that here it's 3 years, and even if she's 2 years and 1 day of age, she can be married through bia. V'chachomim omrim bas shloisha shanim v'yoyim echad. No, she has to be a complete 3 years, 3 years and a day for bia to be an effective means of kiddushin. So now we continue at the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Bishlamo the Rabbi Yochanan, this source does not present a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Just like there is a Tana, and you can see in this source we dashed underline the word the Yom, namely Rabbi Meir. So just like there is a Tana that holds one day is considered a full year, in other words, one day into the third year is considered a complete year. So Hachinami Ikotana the Omar Shloishim Yoim Bishona Chashuvim Shana. By the same token, there would be another Tana that gives precedence to a partial as being considered a full. In this case, 30 days being considered a full year. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan, that's how he had explained the first Tanaic source, where Rabbi Meir says, Bas Shalosh Shanim Miskadesh Biyah meant 2 years and 30 days. Just like you see in this source, 2 years and 1 day. The 1 day being considered a third year, so too, 2 years and 30 days, the 30 days being considered the third year. Elal Rabbi Yanai Kashya. But according to Rabbi Yanai, we don't have a Tanaic basis for his Shita of someone holding 3 full years and that's it, just three years, as opposed to 3 years and a day. We don't have a Tanaic basis for that particular shita. So the Gemara says, Kashya, so the Gemara leaves that as a point of difficulty. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.